of God today for the worship of the Lord. And as we come to his presence and to the worship of the Lord, we sing together 574. When the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. Psalm for today is the Psalm 109, and we're going to take up the reading from verse 21. The Psalm 109, verse 21. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, tossed and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy land, hand, that thy Lord has done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to every heart. We're thinking very especially today of the Crawford family. We think of David and Rachel from our own congregation and the entire family circle. As you know, Samuel, Rachel's brother, was tragically killed this week, last Tuesday, when he was with two other friends climbing Ben Nevis in Scotland. We remember his young wife, Sophie, and all that's going on in her life. She's expecting their first child just in a couple of weeks' time. Thanksgiving service is in Sandown Road Free Church this coming Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. And there is a text that we often think about at this time, and we shared it on Thursday night, and it's the all things that work together for good. Even when we don't see it, and we can't comprehend it, and we don't understand what the Lord is doing, yet Paul is able to say by the inspiration of God, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8, very difficult to apply in circumstances like this. So we come to remember David and Rachel and the Crawford family. We remember our sister Margaret Carey, and we're delighted that she's with us today back in the house of God for worship. She had her procedure on Thursday, and that seemed to be a good success. We think of Mark Buchanan also. Mark has been diagnosed with cancer. He's down in one of the hospitals in Belfast, in the city hospital, and receiving treatment there. Please remember Mark before the Lord publicly now as we come to prayer and in your own quiet times at home. Susan's mum, my mother-in-law, also is battling with ill health, as many of you know, and this has been going on for many months now, and we would just like to add her to the prayer list. We think of Maureen Connolly and her sisters as well, often upon our minds and in our hearts. Sister Tracy, who is continuing to recover from injury, from a fall that she had. Think of young Kerry over in Israel. We've been praying for Lorena, Rosa Van, who is going through cancer treatment. And of course, the situation in Ukraine. The help that is being given, those that are traveling to give that help, many, many miles are being covered. I heard yesterday that the church in Corticus Nuevas are hoping to send a consignment of aid tomorrow week. And Alex, maybe another with him, will be driving to Poland, to the capital city there, and distributing this, and possibly bringing back some refugees as well to care for them. So let's pray for Ukraine in their day of trouble. We'll seek the Lord together. Very conscious of our brother Sean in hospital, and he had a procedure recently, and it's giving some trouble, the pacemaker that was inserted. And Sean is one of our committee members. We are much in prayer for him in these days. He's up in the Causeway Hospital, and he needs this problem fixed. So please remember him. Lord, we thank you today that there is a hiding place for the people of God. And we've been singing about it in the opening hymn. In the times of storm, when the storm rages round about us and In these days, when we hear the wind howling outside, we are reminded of the storm, the devastation that it can cause. We think especially of those that go to sea, and it's very up there in the midst of the storm when the winds and the waves are raging and there is danger and there is threat. We see this in Scripture as a picture of the difficulties and the problems of life that we go through. And certainly those that we've mentioned this day, they are in the storm. We remember Sean in hospital just now, that the Lord will be with him. He needs the touch of the Lord. He needs the healing touch of Christ. We commend him to your grace. We pray that whatever the problem is with the pacemaker, that it will be sorted, that there will be the expertise given that will carry out this work quickly, efficiently, that he'll not have to wait too long to get it done. And Lord, we do pray for that restoration of health, that you'll bring him back to that place where he's able to enjoy life and work again. We pray that the presence of Christ will be real just where he is, and that that will encourage him, and that will lift him up. May he know that his congregation here are praying for him. We remember Mark and this recent diagnosis that he has been given. You know, the human turmoil and disturbance of mind and heart in Mark's life, in the family circle as well. And we want to commit our brother to your grace now again, down there in the city hospital, receiving this treatment. We pray that you'll guide those that have responsibility to administer the medicine, and we pray for a good outcome. We certainly pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding will reign in his heart in these days. Thank you for our sister Margaret that's back with us again, and we pray that you'll continue to touch her and restore her to health and strength. Remember Joan Gibson today, that you will touch her in body and strengthen her and raise her to health and strength. Remember Maureen and her sisters, her sister Lorena over there in Romania. They've all got needs today, health needs. But Christ is the great physician, and we can commit them personally and individually over to the Lord. Lord, very especially, remember the Crawford family. And Lord, we've heard this devastating news this week. And Samuel called out very unexpectedly into eternity, but called home to heaven, and that eases the burden. And we think of Paul when he said, "Ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." And though there is sorrow, great sorrow, in the hearts of Rachel and her family, we thank you today that our sorrow is mixed with the hope of the gospel, the certain hope, the triumph of Christ. Thank you today that Samuel knew the Lord. Think of that testimony that he gave recently in Sandown, and so many have listened to it in these days. Lord, we rejoice that he's in the presence of Christ. He's with the Lord. We know that that is far better. We know that any child of God, no matter what age they are, and we've often thought that there's nothing better for a Christian, whether they're young or old, just to step into the presence of Christ, to go to heaven. But we're very aware of family and friends that are left behind who feel the pain of parting so keenly, the separation for this little time on earth. And Lord, we pray for those therefore that grieve and sorrow today, that thou will be with them, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to make yourself known in the storm that they're going through, that the presence of the Savior who they love will be very real. And we pray that God will speak through this sudden death, that he will speak to Samuel's friends who knew not the Lord, that they will be awakened in grace to understand, if they've never understood it before, that we know not what a day will bring forth. And we need to be ready to meet the Lord. And so we pray that there will be those who will follow Samuel will enter the kingdom of God's dear son and will be converted at this time of sadness. We pray that you will remember Sophie, his dear wife, and all that is before her. Remember this family on Tuesday as the funeral takes place. We pray for the minister of the church that he will be given great grace and help from the Lord to minister to the family and to those who attend the service. And may the Lord be glorified in the midst of it all. Remember Ukraine. The sights are with us every day as we watch the news and we see a suffering people, a displaced people. We see a people in sorrow, loved ones that have been killed. We see injury. We see tears and brokenness as men and women and children flee. Lord, remember this land for good. Remember your church especially in the midst of it all. We pray for pastors and church leaders that they will be given great help and wisdom in these days to minister to the flock of God. And as we have prayed already, we ask that the Lord will be pleased to bring this war to an end, that he will bring down evil and wicked men. We know that when there is righteousness in a land, it exalts a nation. We pray that you'll bring righteousness through the preaching of Christ to that nation. We pray that many will find the Lord as their Savior in troubled times. We've heard of those who have been saved. Lord, add to the number. Multiply it over and over again. Remember the refugees seeking a place to stay, a home, food, shelter, all these things. Lord, we just commit them all into your care. Continue with us now in this service. You know the congregation here. We've come to worship. We've come to be together as your word commands, and we're here to fellowship with each other. We're here to fellowship with the Lord, to hear from him in his word. We pray for the blessing of God to be upon our hymns and upon the reading of the word and the preaching of the word, and minister to hearts, Lord. Every family here, every individual, in fact, they have needs. And we pray that Jesus will draw near to each one of us personally in this service for Christ's sake. Amen. We extend to you a very warm word of welcome to God's house today, those in the building and those listening in on the internet. We're having a special meeting tonight. Mr. Donald Fleming will be coming to speak to us. He has been in Ukraine many, many times as a missionary, and Faith in Action, the organization that he represents, reaching out to the churches there and the pastors. So he's going to give us an update tonight on what's happening, bring a word to this congregation. And we will also, in the will of God, have a live link up with Pastor Valley, who is the pastor in Timișoara. I preached there a couple of weeks ago, and this church have been receiving refugees. If you're in Timișoara, it's probably for a short time. They will be moving on then, perhaps to family and friends in other countries, Germany, France, wherever the case might be. But they're doing a great work, and we'll hear about that, and also the visit that he had to the border this week. Pray for the meeting, that we'll have a real conscious sense of the presence of God, and that our hearts will be touched as we listen to what is said. The prayer meeting is 6:30. We invite you to come to seek the Lord with us. On Monday evening, our Sabbath School Teachers prayer meeting takes place tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. On Tuesday evening, the Youth Challenge, the children's meetings at 7. And there will be also a Hebron choir practice at 8:15, just to mention that to you. I think the choir, most of the members are in a WhatsApp group. You're getting the information. If there's others that want to join the choir, I'm sure you'll be very welcome. That's 8:15 on Tuesday night as preparation is made for Easter. That's not too far away. Wednesday night is our monthly committee meeting at 8 o'clock. Thursday night, the midweek service at 8. And we will be returning to the Carson Complex Hall. It's a better atmosphere for prayer, as we know, and we've been missing that. But God willing, we'll be back at the church hall this coming Thursday night. Friday night, the Missionary Council will take place in Randallstown. It's a prayer meeting particularly. And on Friday night, the youth council regional rally for this area will take place right here in Hebron at 8 o'clock. I'll be preaching. Saturday morning is the open air in the centre of the town at 11. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. The Sabbath school, 10:30. And the Bible class, 10:30. And Phil will be dealing with the doctrine of the mercy of God. It is incomparable. Worship service then at 12 noon. And the gospel meeting at 7. Preceded by the time of prayer. I want to thank you for your tithes and offerings to God's work. Today is building fund, and it's also next week missionary council envelopes and the school covenant support. Mentioning the school, we want to thank all that came yesterday to help with the big breakfast, the fundraiser for the school, all who attended and all who worked tirelessly behind the scenes just to make sure that the food was going out on time. And these were the ones that were in first thing in the morning, and hence the first pictures that we took. And then folks that came throughout the day. And we're very glad to report that the funding for the school was almost £1,500. It'll maybe exceed that a little bit as more gifts come in today. We are remembering those that are suffering in the land of Ukraine. 2.5 million now displaced people. These refugees all seeking a place. We're glad that food distribution is taking place in the most needy areas, that the House of Hope is seeking to help refugees, many of them aged and infirm and disabled. The carers fled and they were left behind, and many buses went out and brought them into House of Hope, and they're being cared for there. The Bethany Baptist Church in Timișoara continuing to receive refugees from Ukraine, and then that momentous meeting at the border when funds were brought 500 miles cross country to the border, and hundreds of miles then the Ukrainian pastors travelled so that they could meet together and get the finance in that was so necessary to feed the people. We've also tried to do a little bit by way of sending pallets out. And I want to thank those that were in during the week. This work was done. We thought we would do a couple of pallets, and it ended up four. And we want to thank you who brought the necessary items in, and they have now been shipped and are en route. We are lifting an offering, a collection for the Ukraine aid. Mission Board has launched this, and we'll be giving money to the Slavic Gospel Association, Faith in Action, and they'll be represented tonight with Donald coming to speak, and then there'll be some contribution to the Bethany Church to help them in what they're doing. We have envelopes. You don't have to use these envelopes, but if you want to, they're there, and if you're able to gift aid it, you can put your number on the envelope. I think that's all the announcements to make. We're going to sing the hymn 570, I firm a foundation. Ye saints of the Lord, is led for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Very appropriate hymn with all that's happening round about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Think of the Crawford family, and think of Rachel. We remember young Harry as well. Harry, during his time down studying at Coleraine University, has attended here, came to our youth fellowship. He's a cousin, and I know the whole family are passing through this time of great sorrow. Will you turn with me to the Word of God as we find it in Mark chapter 6? Our text is displayed, verses 45 and 46. We're going to read a few verses together from the 45th verse down to verse 52. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And we'll end the reading at verse 52. My text actually will be based around verse 50. We'll be looking at the passage before us, but I'm thinking particularly of the words of Christ here, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid, for I want to speak on the presence of Christ in the storm. And I feel it's very, very applicable for today, and the Lord makes no mistakes. Well, we were to pray, first of all, as we commend ourselves to the Lord for this time of preaching. Our Father, We pray for help. The help that we need is great. Just to be able to listen to your word, to listen to what Christ is saying to our hearts through his word, to be attentive. We know our human weaknesses and the many battles, even when we come to worship, the devil would take our attention away. He would take our thoughts away, but help us this day to think upon your word and to hear from heaven. And Holy Spirit, apply the great truths of what will be preached upon to every heart. And as a result, may the church here be helped. We pray that those particularly who are in the storm will be helped, and that they will know the presence of Christ in a very powerful way. And so I seek the power of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Grant me his might, wisdom, and power now for Jesus' sake. Amen. God makes no mistakes. And in this next message that we bring to this congregation, we are brought into the storm, to the experience of fear, uncertainty, and trouble when the disciples find themselves in a place where the wind is contrary unto them. They're in the storm. They've been in the storm before. You remember back in chapter 4 when the Lord was with them on that occasion, asleep in the hinder part of the ship. We're told that there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And the disciples thought they were going to die. And in great panic and alarm, they ran to Christ. They wakened him up. Carest thou not that we perish? Of course he cared. And he stilled the tempest. And he still cares today. Here's another storm. This time the physical presence of Christ is not in the ship when the storm arose. He is in the mountain. He's there praying. We noted the great mediator interceding for them as he still intercedes for his people today who are in the storms of life. Do you remember how I finished the message last Lord's Day with the thought of the Savior in prayer, knowing that the storm was going to arise in the journey of these men, and the Lord goes out to pray? And this is how I ended my sermon. Little did the disciples know what crisis would overtake them in the journey. All in the providence of God, for Jesus sent them into the sea. A storm would break out that night. We do not know what storms will arise tomorrow. We do not know what storms will arise this week. Or on any given day, surely it behoves us to be men and women of prayer just like the Savior, so that we are prepared for the storms, prepared for the battles, prepared for the conflicts and the hard times. The disciples go to sea, Jesus goes to pray in the mountain. As this storm rises that night in the journey, where is Jesus? As the great mediator and intercessor, he's engaged in prayer. I take great comfort from this, and I'm sure you do. And then we made application to what was happening in Ukraine. Our Ukrainian brethren and sisters are in a great storm. We think of the war. We think of the senseless deaths. We think of the suffering. We think of the injured. We think of the fears, the tears, the little children, the babies, the refugees, the separation of families. Isn't it good to know that we have a man in the glory and he's there interceding, and so should we. It's the least that we can do. We're doing other practical things, but the greatest thing that we can do is pray. When our brothers and our sisters are in the storm, let us be at the throne of grace on their behalf. And that's how we finished last Lord's Day. This week has brought a storm into the lives of some of our very dear friends. Not only have we those that we've been praying for, like Margaret and Maureen and the others that are on the prayer list, but we could never have anticipated the sad and the tragic death of Samuel Crawford when he was taken so suddenly from this scene of time last Tuesday. Or the news that Mark Buchanan would receive, diagnosed this week with cancer. Or our brother Sean in hospital and struggling just now. And some of you here sitting listening. And you're in the storm. Maybe we don't even know what your circumstances are, but you're in the storm. As I ponder those who are in the storm today, the scene before us here is so fitting and appropriate. The Lord came walking on the water in the midst of the storm, and he speaks words of comfort. And he says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And it is my prayer that the same Savior will visit the Crawford family in their storm, and he will speak the same words of reassurance to their sad hearts. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And may it be so for Mark and for Sean and the others that I've mentioned. I think of God's dear flock in Ukraine in the midst of their devastation and destruction. How appropriate are these words also for them? Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. The disciples had just come from the heights of excellence, and I'm referring here to the feeding of the 5,000. And they are just heading now to the wonders of divine miracles. If you read the concluding verses of the chapter, you will find when they got across to the other side and the Lord was there, that great miracles were accomplished and many, many people were healed. But in between is the storm. Behind them, the heights of excellence. Before them, the wonders of the healing miracles of Christ. But right now, it's the storm. How often we have reminded ourselves that after the blessing comes the battle. After the mountaintop experience comes a deep valley, so often. After the crest of the wave, there comes the great swelling times. After the bright sunshine, the deep darkness. We do have our storms to face, our trials to encounter, our afflictions to contend with, but the Lord is there. And that's the message I want you to take home with you today. That's what I want you to really appreciate and get a hold of in your heart and mind. It's not an easy road, the hymn writer said. We're traveling to heaven. For many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. We must not lose sight of this truth. And so may the Lord apply it to our hearts during this time of preaching. I want you to notice, first of all, the crisis that erupted. And we have it there in verse 47 and 48. When the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone in the land. And when he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. In the Gospel of Matthew, when you compare the very same situation, Matthew tells us in chapter 14 of his gospel in verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the gospel writer John, in chapter 6 of his gospel, in verses 17 and 18, gives this information. And they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. These men, they went out to sea on a dark night, and a terrible, terrible storm erupted. The Lord allows the storms to erupt in our lives. We need to learn that. When Jesus went into the mountain to pray, he did so immediately after, listen to these words in verse 45, constraining his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. He constrained them. He knew the kind of night that was going to unfold. He knew what was going to happen in the journey. He sent them into the storm. It was by divine appointment and ordination. Let us not think for one moment that he didn't know. The Lord knew as he constrained them to get into the ship. He knew exactly what lay before them in the journey. He who calmed the sea. He who was the one who is the one that sent the storm. And he sent his people into the midst of it. Never forget that the winds and the waves and the storms are all Christ's servants. They obey him. They cannot move without his permission. We are not to think it a strange thing, says Peter, when we enter into such times. He calls it the fiery trial. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Christ allows us to be tried for a season, to be tossed, as these men were in a physical sense, tossed to and fro by the storms of trouble. He allows us to enter into the darkness, the adverse circumstances to cross our paths. And more than that, sometimes in a very definite way, he sends us into the midst of them. And it's always, though we can't see it, it's always for our good. And it's always for his glory. In everything, there's a purpose. And we need to learn that again and again as the people of God, especially in the storm. There's a purpose in everything. There will be times when our cry will be similar to that of the prophet Jonah. The floods compass me about, and all thy billows and thy waves pass over me. Jonah chapter 2, verse 3. Let's remember, they are his billows. They are his waves. They belong to him. Jesus says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. It's not strange, therefore. It's not something new. It's not something out of the ordinary. It is to be expected. The crisis that erupted. But I want you to notice, secondly, the consolation that was experienced. We have that in verse 49 of the chapter. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes to them. He comes walking on the sea. He came at the right moment. Now, he may not have come when these disciples felt they needed him, for they were in the storm for a period of time. And this is certainly suggested here, because we're told that he came in the fourth watch of the night. Now, in the days of the Savior, the night season was divided into four. So these are called watches, and they consisted of 3 hours each. You had from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening. You had from 9 o'clock until midnight. You had from midnight to 3 o'clock in the morning. And then you had from 3 o'clock in the morning until 6. The first watch was called, very simply, the evening. The second was midnight. The third was the cock crowing. And the fourth one was the morning. And it was in the last of these watches, or between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning, that Jesus appeared to his disciples after spending most of the night himself in prayer in the mountain. Please see this wonderful happening. Jesus came walking, as he still comes walking today in the midst of our storms. He comes seeking. He comes looking. He comes in love. Notice that he talked with them. How sweet it is when Jesus speaks, when we hear the voice of our beloved in the midst of the storms. I'm sure that you know this experience. There you are in the middle of some tempestuous trouble. Your heart is full of fears. Your soul is filled with anxiety, and perhaps you hardly know where to turn. And then he comes. He comes and he speaks. He has a word for you. You think of those Sabbaths when you've come to the house of God and you've come maybe with brokenness of heart. You've come with trouble in your soul and there's been a message for you and God has spoken to you. Think of those times when in the privacy of your own home you've bowed the knee before the Lord and as you sought him, he came. He came. And as you opened up his word, he had a message for you. He came to speak to you. He still does that. And what does our Savior say? What does he say in the midst of the storm? He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. The Lord still comes to his believing church in their crisis, when the storm erupts, when the waves threaten, and we are tossed to and fro in what seems to be the angry waves. Jesus comes and he talks with us and he has a message for us, and he still says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Those are all very precious words. Every last little word here, every little phrase of what the Lord is saying, our thoughts are all often upon them. But I want you to notice the little phrase, just the little phrase, "It is I," the center part of it. It's a lovely thing to hear the Lord say, "Be of good cheer," and it's always sweet to know that he's saying to you and I, "Be not afraid," but just notice that center bit. "It is I." Three words, and there's only five letters. But they are thought-provoking, aren't they? They are so, so precious. There's a wealth of application here. It is I. It's Christ. It's Jesus. All that these disciples could possibly need, and all that you and I today could desire in our storms. There is so much that I could say for in the subject of Christ and who he is to his people and what he is able to do. It's vast. It's inexhaustible. Just thinking about what John said right at the end of the gospel. The four gospels telling us about the life and the ministry of Christ, and this is how the four gospels conclude. It's the last verse of John's gospel. "There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." So much that we could say about Christ. So much that could have been said about Christ that's not in our Bibles. But we have everything that we need to know, of course. There's many things that I could say about the one who comes walking on the water. For in Christ, we have infiniteness. We have eternality. However, we need dig no further than the context here to discover who it is that draws near to his dearly beloved disciples. He is the one of omnipotent power. I want you to see that as the Lord comes. In this chapter, the people exclaim, back in verse 2, "From whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" The power of God. The mighty works that Jesus did. And in this chapter, we have the feeding of the 5,000. We go on to read about the healing miracles at the conclusion of the chapter in verses 54 and 55. And of course, we have the stilling of the storm. As such, he's able to help in the storm, because Christ is God. He possesses all power. He possesses the power of God, and he works with divine omnipotence. This is the one who comes walking in the midst of the storms of life. Never lose sight of who it is. Never lose sight of his power and his ability. These men did. Interestingly enough, you see what we read in verse 52. It was the last verse to be read. "They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." These men forgot what he did. They forgot his power in the midst of the storm. The one that comes is the one of omnipotent power. He's also the one of infinite knowledge. He knows everything. Look with me at verse 47 and the opening part of verse 48. "When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone in the land, and he saw them." He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. He was in the mountain at this moment, or maybe if he had come a little bit towards them, he's now on the shore, but we know that he's at a great distance from the disciples. He was separated. The night had fallen. The darkness had come. However, he knew all about their distresses, despite the distance and despite the darkness. He saw them toiling and rowing. He saw that the wind was contrary. And we ought to take comfort in this reality. No matter the distance, no matter the darkness, no matter the distress, Jesus knows wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, no matter the burden or the turmoil, Jesus sees. Because he is the all-seeing, omniscient Christ. He sees your loneliness. He sees your pain. He sees your sickness. He sees your sorrow. He sees your weakness. He sees your feebleness. He sees your uneasiness. He sees the soreness of heart. All the detail is before his view. That same eye that saw the disciples tossed in the sea is ever looking at us. We are not beyond the reach of his care. Our way is never hidden from him. He knows the path that we take, as he knew the path of Job. Many times Job didn't understand what was happening in his life. You read his book, you'll see that. Couldn't interpret what God was doing. But you know, Job came to a place where he says, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. And really what he's saying, Lord, I may not know, I may not understand. I can't interpret what's happening here, but Lord, you know. You know what you're doing. And so can we. The words of David are very relevant. I love the Psalm 139 that reminds us about the all-knowing and the all-seeing God. Let me just read some of these verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but Lord, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the winds of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And if you run your eye down to verse 17 and 18, he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He's the one of infinite knowledge. He's also the one of intercessory prayer. This was really the message last Lord's Day, as we think of verse 46 of our reading. When he sent the disciples away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Jesus was praying for these men. He sent them to sea. He sent them into the storm. But there he goes himself out into the mountain to pray. And now, at the right hand of the Father, he still ever lives to make intercession for his people in our darkest hours. The one who comes walking is the interceder who prays for his people. The one of omnipotent power, the one of infinite knowledge, the one of intercessory prayer. Just a word on the fact that he is the one of wise counsel. Because he speaks here. It's an appropriate word. It's a suitable word. We have noted these words already where he says, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. He still counsels the people of God today wisely. And could you note also that he's the one of personal acquaintance? Though there were a number of disciples here, and we know that, they were in the ship that was tossed in the angry waves. Yet the account that is given to us by Matthew tells us about one particular disciple. Even though the eye of Christ was on them all, there was one particular disciple that is mentioned. And I'll read the verses in Matthew 14, verse 28 to 31. Peter, of course, is the one here. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Christ will look after his people in the storms. The church collectively, if you like. But I want you to know this. He's interested in us as individuals. As he was interested in Peter personally, he's interested in you and I in a very personal fashion. Do you see that? He looks down into this gathering, this church gathering. And yes, he sees a company of people in his presence gathered together, assembled at his command with the blessing and the presence of God here. But he sees you and I individually. He sees your need this very day individually, your distress of heart and your distress of mind and soul, the things that perplex you. Jesus sees that. Let's be aware of that today. Then I want you to notice, thirdly, the calm that was enjoyed. We have it in verse 51. He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. The wind ceased. The elements of this world obey him, as does everything else. Jesus is still able to bring calm and tranquility to troubled spirits. There will be a great and eternal peace one day. We know that. When Christ will make all things new. We're looking forward to that. There is a day, a glorious day, when we shall no longer be buffeted in the storms and there will be a great calm. We're going to our eternal rest and we will forever be lifted out of the tempest and the threatening waves. Then it shall be peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Having said that, these men were still on earth. They're not in heaven. They're in the midst of the tempestuous sea. They're tossed from wave to wave. And Jesus came and he spoke the word. And all was calm. And he can do the same today. For you right now. He can do the same for that troubled family, the Crawford family. He can do the same for those that are sick and have mentioned their names today. And he can do it for you, whatever your circumstances are. And just as I finish, I want to mention a verse from the account given by Matthew in Matthew chapter 14. And I want to say that there is the confession that was exclaimed. For in Matthew 14 and verse 33, they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And that's the place that we need to get to. When the storms come, whatever it is that we're going through, to be able to learn in the midst of it, and especially when the Lord steps in and he brings that calm and that peace, to be able to say, thou art the Son of God. You are who you claim to be. You are the one that I worship, and I believe who you are, and I trust in thee. I think that's what these disciples were saying, and that's the place that we need to get to. May the Lord make this message helpful to encourage you, to strengthen you in your storm, and especially those that are in the great storms today, for Christ's sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you make no mistakes. In this series, we could have been somewhere else. But Lord, you brought us back to the thought of the storm. We believe that this message has been ordained by God. And Lord, we've mentioned those that we know of who are in great storms today. We pray that the Lord will speak the word. We pray that they will hear in the midst of it all, it is I. It is I. And we pray that whatever perplexity that they are in, that they will just trust in the Lord, lean hard upon him, and know his grace to carry them through to the place of calmness again. Lord, be the anchor to their souls, we pray, and to all in this building and those that are listening in today who find themselves in a hard place. May they know the Lord's presence. May they hear the Lord say to them today, it's I, be not afraid. I'm with you. I'll go with you. I'll help you. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts? When the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed, one who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. And there is one, as the chorus will define for us, the blessed, blessed Jesus, the one who says, it is I. Let's think of the words as we close. Inspire us, encourage us, strengthen us, Help us to lean upon the great truths that are expressed in your word, especially the presence of Christ in the dark times. And we pray that you'll carry us through in victory. Oh, we praise thee, there's victory for the people of God every day. And may we know the Lord whispering in our hearts in such dark days, it is I, be not afraid, I'm there. Dismiss us now with your blessing, the blessing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen.